Good morning, good morning, good morning. We give the Lord praise as a blessing to be here at this time. We thank God for you who are here, and we do have a good word from the Lord today. And as it is our custom, we're going to go before the Lord in prayer. It's always a good thing to pray. Jesus said, man ought to always pray and not faint. In other words, don't give up. Keep on praying no matter what's going on in your life. And he is there with you. Remember that God loves you just like you are. And he is working on improving all of us to make us better men and women. Amen. Let's go before God in prayer right now. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come this morning, Father, just to give you praise, to exalt your name, to lift you up, and to thank you, Father, for all that you've already done for every one of us. Father, we pray for blessings to every home and every family that is represented here, Lord, in this group, in Facebook, and in the city, and in the country, and in the world. Father, we ask you to just bless on behalf of your Son of Jesus. We need you, Father, right now. We realize you have control and authority over all things. And so, Father, we exalt your name, and we praise you, even in the midst of things that appear to be, just as you said, perilous times. And so, Father, we thank God for Jesus. We thank God for salvation. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your church. We thank you for our family and all the important things that you have blessed us with in this world. Father, we thank you for all the provisions that you have given us to take us through such a time as this. And Father, we pray for those who are struggling with these times, Father, that you would bless them right wherever they are. Father, help us to be a blessing to those, Lord, who need help. And Father, we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask for a special wisdom this morning, Father, that we might hear your word and walk by faith and not by sight. Father, help us to really just be in tune with you during these difficult times, because we know you have the answer. You've already provided a major answer through giving us your Son and raising him from the dead and giving us the revelation that he is the only Savior. And so, Father, we ask now for additional wisdom and understanding under the movement of your Holy Spirit and through the understanding of your word. And we praise you in Jesus' name. And the whole church said together, amen. Go ahead and give God a hand praise. We like to praise God with the hand praise around where I come from. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. We do have a word from the Lord, just a few messages that we would like to talk about, a few things here up front just before we get into our message today. And this is a very unusual time, so one of the most difficult times I have been through in my lifetime. Thank God just for bringing me through this far. And as the scripture says, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. So I want to say good morning to all of you. A lot of people are tuning in for the first time. We welcome you. Thank God for you coming onto our channel to hear a word from God. So last year, I just want to mention this, just before this outbreak of the novel coronavirus, at St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church, I had been led to teach a series of messages through on the subject of Holy Spirit power from a book that was written by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I have a copy here. This book is also, we make this available on our website. And it's for, if you log in and just fill in the email, we'll send you a copy, as many as we have in stock. I think we may have a limited number in stock, but the book was very profound, and I believe God was preparing us for these times that we're going through now, because there's nothing more important than being in touch with the Holy Spirit as you go through difficult seasons like this that we're dealing with now. This book was published in 1855. So it was before that previous pandemic that took place back in 1918, they tell me. And so there's a lot of stuff here that was preparing the church at that time for the pandemic that was just ahead. And so this book, like I said, if you're interested in it, by all means, contact us at teachingbible.org, and we will forward you a copy if you fill in your email in that slot. Or you can inbox me here on Facebook, however it's best for you. Just let me know if you're interested. But in the case, we studied that because never before, at least in my lifetime, as I said, has there been more difficult times in which the church needed to hear a word from God and be instructed from the Holy Spirit of God for specific information on how to navigate through these kind of times. And the expectation is that this is just the beginning. So if you read the history on what happened back then, you and I are just at the beginning of a terrible situation. Now, of course, God is always able to turn it around, and he's always able to diminish the impact of the thing. But in the meantime, you and I need wisdom. We can't rely on the state. We cannot rely on the government. The government, as you know, can be deceptive, although government is God's idea. But many times their motivation is not necessarily the best interest of the people. They have an underlying thing that they're interested in primarily. And Jesus put it this way. He said, you cannot serve two masters. You will either love the one or hate the other, or despise the one and cleave to the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So sometimes the dollar and the economy motivates people who are in a wealthy position, and they make moves based on finances rather than on the truth and what's really best for the people. And so we have to be careful. You and I are in perilous times. So, you know, if you were here with us last week, if you weren't, our message is online. You can backtrack to that and find it on our website or here on Facebook. But we talked about last week that Jesus Christ is God's only Savior. I want to be very explicit with that. And today I would like to talk with you on the subject of the supremacy of Jesus Christ. In other words, he is the supreme king and ruler, and we need to look to him no matter what we hear, no matter who's in charge in the White House, who's in charge of City Hall or the Kremlin or anywhere else you want to name, Moscow, name somewhere. You know, it doesn't make a difference. There's one king, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so we want to look to him. We are, as the Bible says, you and I are ambassadors for Christ, if you happen to be a believer. And so we're here kind of as an ambassador from God himself to give people the good news of what God says in his word, the Holy Bible. So we thank you for tuning in right now. We're going to go right ahead. I want to call your attention to a passage in the Old Testament. And this has been kind of a theme during this time of quarantine that we've been going through. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You and I need instruction from God. We need wisdom from God. God is willing and able to give us instruction, even in difficult times like these. And if we allow his spirit to speak to us, wherewith we have been sealed, the scripture says, Ephesians 4 and 30, we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise for the day of redemption. And, you know, if you're listening and you haven't become acquainted with Jesus Christ, who he is, we recommend that you believe on him. That's the duty of the church, is to go into the world and spread the good news. Jesus said, teach all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So if you haven't trusted Christ, do it today. This is a good day to be saved. And you want to know that you're saved, because more terrible than the coronavirus is the virus of sin. Sin is happening to everybody. Everybody is infected. There is not a soul anywhere who is not infected with sin. The only solution to sin is found in Jesus Christ. How do we know? Because he's the only one who got out of the grave and declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. If you don't have a solution to death, you don't have the right religion, if you want to call it religion. I don't. I call it a relationship with God. But if you don't have the solution to the problem of death, you are not God. Simply put, the only one who does and has been proven in the history of mankind is Jesus Christ, the only one who defeated death in the grave. And so his supremacy is the thing that you and I are interested in. He should be exalted. The Bible says that he will be exalted, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That day is coming. And we look forward to it. Read Psalm 2. If you'd like one reference for that, there are many all through the scripture. But today I want to talk with you about a passage that we discussed back during our study of the book Holy Spirit Power by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. From the book of Isaiah chapter 54, verses 13 to 7. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, nor from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. And he says, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. Then he says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So what he's saying there, God says, first of all, I want to dispel the myth that Satan is in authority over anything. Satan is like an evil dog on a leash, and Jesus is holding the chain. So he can't do anything. He might bark and come all up on you like he's all that, but he can't do anything unless the Lord lets him do it. So don't give him any equal a place in what's going on in your life or in the world, because only God is sovereign. Jesus is the only one who is supreme. The devil is just waiting on judgment. The scripture says he and all believe him, him and his lie, shall be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death, and that will be the end of him. And so don't let get hung up. People, I hear a lot of folks on call themselves spiritual teachers trying to tell you, oh, the devil is doing this and that. You know what? He might be doing some stuff, but I'm not thinking about him. Isaiah says that we shall all be taught of the Lord in verse 13, chapter 15. And then he says, and the result of that is great shall be the peace of thy children. You and I have to have peace even through times like these, going through a terrible storm in life. God is the only one who can give you that peace. Doesn't mean you don't have any anxiousness or anything of that sort. That's all totally normal. Even a little fear is a normal thing. God gave us the sense of fear to protect us from dangerous things. There's a lot of dangerous things in the world. Me and some of my cohorts that I used to work with worked in the electrical field. And, of course, you're in danger every day, every time you go to work. It amazes me that people don't think of it that way. Like we look at all the first responders who are out there now, and thank God for them. And I'm very appreciative that many of them are out there doing what they do, because we couldn't do without them. But electricians, for example, this is just one example, are in great danger every second. All they do is make one false move and you're toast, baby. You know, and so it's really kind of a similar thing. A lot of people work in hazardous vocations. So you do have to be in touch with God. Anything you do kind of in this world is kind of a hazardous duty, of so to speak. But basically, death is right at the threshold of every door. So you and I don't want to go around in abject fear, worrying about all kinds of stuff. You want to be in touch with God, have your mental position fixed on him so that he can guide you through the perilous times that he already has promised that will come. So Isaiah says here, all thy children, speaking of the children of God, shall be taught of the Lord. God wants to teach you individually. He wants to be on board in your mind, your on board navigation, if you will, so that when you come into a situation, I'm here in your life, and I'm right there. I'm just a thought away. I am a part of you. I have moved in and taken up my residence in you. And he can do this through the supremacy of Christ. Now, when we talk about that term, the supremacy of Christ, is only because God sent his son and raised him from the dead to make him the most important person in human history so that you and I can believe in him. And the Bible says whenever you believe in him, that he seals you with the Holy Spirit of promise for the day of redemption. You'll find that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. He said, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, God puts his spirit in you, and the spirit coexists with you. He dwells with you inside you to direct you and guide you and lead you to all truth. And this is what Isaiah prophesied when he said, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. We need to just let that soak in and realize God wants you and me to be in peace. He doesn't want you to be in terror and on the edge of fear and going around scared. It doesn't mean be silly either and act like that there isn't any danger. So it's a fine balance that God has provided through the giving of his son by the supremacy of Christ, the fact that he has defeated even death and the grave. You can count on him. And he says this, in righteousness shalt thou be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. So the solution is, if we can tap into God, we can be away from the fear and the terror and all this stuff that's going on in the world, we're going to have to use some good sense and also spiritual guidance. But God promises he will guide you. He will lead you and guide you through every storm. We can look in the scripture. We see back in the days of Jesus, there was leprosy. There were folks with withered hands. And there were folks who were possessed with demons, all kinds of things. And Jesus dealt with all of them, including raising Lazarus from the dead after 4 days, after he had already been buried, and brought him back to life and had him sitting at the table with him eating at a banquet that was being served. So things of that sort let you know that Christ is supreme. He is the King of Kings, as the scripture says, and the Lord of Lords. And you and I have the benefit of trusting in him right now, even though he is not officially reigning on the throne. He is reigning in the heaven above, and he will come back. The scripture says he comes back with all authority and all power. So you and I are ambassadors for Christ, like Paul said to the Philippians, and we represent him in the world. So that's why we want you to believe in him. If you've never considered Christ, realize he loves you. He accepts you. He has paid your bill entirely. He makes you right with God by himself. That's why Isaiah says in his last verse, he says here, no weapon that is formed against thee, Isaiah 54:17, shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. And he says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. In other words, he gives righteousness to me and you. If you trust God, that's the only way you can actually have righteousness that will profit you, is to receive the righteousness of God as a free gift by faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, whom he has raised from the dead, proving that he is the supreme and only sovereign in the world, that he has defeated even death in the grave. And so you can have that today. Don't think it's something you have to do. This is something God has provided for you by giving his Son. And so if you believe in him, that's why the most famous Bible verse perhaps in all the world is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, that means anyone, it's a blanket invitation to all men, women, boys, and girls. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So if you want to be saved, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't even worry about figuring it out. Just believe him. He'll take up residence and do the rest. And he'll give you a peace that passeth all understanding. And you'll be able to walk by faith, as the scripture says, and not by sight. So being taught by God is a very important thing. And I want you to do that today. If you haven't done that, we're going to lead you in prayer at the end of this message. And try not to be too long with you here today. But we'd love to continue to teach you more things about the word. So maybe you may want to connect with us somehow, either on Facebook or on the website. So due to the curse and the fall of the first Adam, which was God's man that he gave dominion and authority over everything, everything touched by mankind will take a turn away from God and attempt to take the glory from God. That's what we see happening a lot today. And place it upon mankind. They'd rather give man credit for all the accomplishments that have been made. I'm amazed how many people give man credit for all the things. Now, God wanted man to be in charge. Don't get me wrong. He wants you to be creative. He wants you to be inventive. He wants you to explore the earth and take dominion over the whole earth. He wants you to have authority in things. But the big problem is we tend to do all that, and the next thing you know, oh, it's all about me. You know, no, it's not about you. It's about God. God is the one to whom the glory belongs. Man always would like to seize the glory for himself. Talk about how he is, and he wants all the accolades and doesn't want to give God credit, by and large. So this is why we see a lot of this today. We think science is God. And science basically is a segment of a definition about who God is. The scripture says he is omniscience, and we say omniscience because he knows everything. God knows everything. He's the source of science. There is no science that exists without God. God invented everything scientific. And so he should get the credit and the glory. What we're doing, and good people who really understand who God is, they give God the credit. Like some of the most wise people that have invented the best things that make the world revolutionary as it is today have given God credit. They said good science is thinking God's thoughts after him. See what I'm saying? So all we're doing is figuring out what he made and how it works and how we can use it for his glory. We should give him the glory because he's the creator and the designer of all these things. So man always wants to take the glory and pat himself on the back. They discover a star or something, and they say, oh, I'm going to name this after me. Well, you know, it really that's kind of a cheap way out. You should give God the glory and the praise for everything you do. And so man does this. He tries to hoard the glory that belongs to God, and he seeks to, in other words, he doesn't give God what's proper because mankind has always elevated himself and seeks to be seen as the greatest among other men and does not want to accept the fact that only Almighty God is supreme. So that's the whole big battle in the inside of all this stuff we see going on. And it's going to get worse. The scripture gives us the prescription of how it's going to be in the latter days. There'll be a falling away of the church called the apostasy. We're in that now. I want to let you know that the church is beginning to fall away now. They're beginning to embrace and accept things that God has clearly said are not good. And the fact is, they won't get free from these things. They don't realize there is a way out of stuff. Like instead of, in other words, for example, instead of condemning prostitution, oh, we legalize it so we don't have to worry about it. Or instead of condemning drug abuse, we legalize it or whatever. That's what man does, is he legalizes things that God has said are not acceptable. And so primarily God can give you authority over things that are not acceptable. And he accepts you no matter how you are. He accepted Rahab the harlot. Remember that? Back in the book of Joshua, she was a harlot, known as a harlot throughout the Bible, which is kind of a sad title to have slapped onto your name. Rahab, every time you say Rahab, somebody says the harlot. You know, think about that. But she got saved, and God forgave her. He took her, and she was married into the family that brought forth the lineage of Jesus, the Messiah. And so no matter where you are and what you're doing, God is able to forgive you, cleanse you, turn you around, and give you a new way to walk in life. But when he cleans this one right here, I'm not going to talk about Rahab. I can talk about this one right here. You know, I had some issues, still do, still have some issues, but God has worked with me, and I'm way better than I used to be, and I keep on studying his word, and I believe he keeps on blessing me, and it's getting better and better and better. Amen. So that's the way it is. So trust in the Lord, the scripture says, with all your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So he's making a way for you, and he wants to do that. God loves you. A lot of times you can't deal with what's going on in your life without him. So you need the Lord, just like all of us who have confessed Jesus to be our Savior. So the supremacy of Christ is a great thing. I think of him all the time. Every time I look at the pitiful people in some positions who are running things, it's like, well, I thank God for Jesus. Because he always tells you the straight truth, and he tells you the straight facts, and you don't have to worry about it. But you know what? These things are going to pass away, but his word, he says, will never pass away. Mark 13:31, the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So the word of God will be here when everything has been rolled up like a scroll and taken out of existence. So let me call your attention to another passage just quickly here. I don't want to burn all the time. In the book of the New Testament book of John, chapter 19 and verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, this is during the crucifixion when he was nailed to the cross, when he had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So this was the final thing that Jesus did just before he gave his perfect, unblemished, sinless spirit back to God. He was in the world for the purpose of fulfilling everything God had promised pertaining to his first advent. In other words, so Jesus was going through the scripture meticulously fulfilling everything that God promised for the first coming of Christ. And it says in John 19:31, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was in high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. The Jews said, hurry up and get this thing over. We want that hideous thing. They probably felt a serious guilt. I can't imagine how they felt when they had crucified the Messiah after he had been given to them in order to save them. Now you crucified him and you just want to sweep it under the rug so you can go on with your phony works, your phony little ceremonies that you have and going around thinking God is happy because you're lighting candles and burning incense. God is not happy with that. He never has been. You know, God has always known the exact problem with man. All of us have a problem with sin. God has been forgiving sin ever since the Garden of Eden, and he will continue until the trumpet sounds. And the dead in Christ will be raised imperfectly out of the graves of those who are alive and remain. Paul says, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. See, so that day is coming in between then. God knows people are sinful. And nobody's ever been saved because they were so righteous or so holy or did everything right. People were always saved by faith in God and trusting and believing in him and looking forward to his solution for the problem of sin, which was the first coming of Christ. Now, we say that happened back 2,000 years ago approximately because Jesus was about 33 and a half when he was crucified on the Roman cross. And a time is based on and centered on Christ, his first coming. And that's part one thing that's still in our culture that shows us the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Why would time on every clock that ticks tick seconds off based on when Jesus was born? And time before that, we call BC, before Christ, he is centered in everything about this world. So don't let men fool you with their inventions and all their stuff and grabbing for the glory. Jesus is the most crucial and the most supreme individual that ever lived. He was both God and man. This is something we call basically the trifold office that he occupies, and no one else is like him. He is prophet, priest, and king. And he's going to reign on the throne, as Isaiah said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, it says. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And he shall rule and reign on the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And it says, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. So we've seen part of that prophecy fulfilled from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The child has been born, the son has been given, but we have not yet seen the governments upon his shoulders. Because he didn't come and seize the governments at that first advent. But there's coming a time when Christ will be supreme and he will rule and reign with all power in heaven and earth. You know, people have rejected God all the way from the very beginning, and they have rejected Christ, even the Jews, the covenant people, all the way from 2,000 years ago when it was at their hands that he was crucified. And the fact is, he loved them. That's the reason why. And he still loves them. I want to let you know, if you're Jewish, God loves you. You have a special relationship with God, and you ought to love him back by receiving his son, because Jesus Christ is supreme. We want to preach to the Jew first, as the apostles did, but we also preach to the whole world. Trust in the Lord and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and you shall be saved. And so moving on here in John, what I want you to see here from what John reveals to me and you are some things about the accuracy of Scripture in the supremacy of Christ. John says that the Jews say, go ahead and break his legs and get him off that cross. We want to sweep that under the rug and move on with our phony holy ceremony. And it was something they were going to do that they thought God would be impressed with. But God knew that they would do it. That's why he wrote it down in the scriptures, places like Psalms 22, that they pierced my hands and my feet. And Deuteronomy, he talks about how cursed is everyone hanged on a tree. All through the Old Testament, there was foreshadowings of what Jesus would fulfill entirely by himself when he came at that first advent. And so the Jews are trying to get him off the cross because that's an ugly thing. We know we did an ugly thing. You know how you do something bad sometime and you just want to wash it away and move along? Oh, I don't want nobody to know about this. There's a great deal of disgrace and shame when we do stuff that we know is not right. And so they were trying to wash that thing away, but it couldn't wash away that easy. Then came the soldiers to break the legs, John 19:32, of the first. There were three crucified, two thieves, one on either side of Jesus, and Jesus was in the midst. He's always in the midst. He wants to be in the midst of your life. He was between two thieves, one that believed and one that didn't. And they came along, it says here, and began to break their legs here. John 19 in verse 32, then came the soldier and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified. So both thieves got their legs broke, and they skipped Jesus. I guess that was the hardest one, first of all, just the very idea, because everybody knew he was righteous, except the people, even the people who crucified him knew he was righteous. They couldn't find anything on him. He said to them publicly, which of you convinces me of sin? What do you have against me? Nobody could answer, but they went on and crucified him anyway, even let Barabbas go, who was a known criminal. And then Pilate tried to get off the hook. Said, let me take Barabbas out here, because you guys have a ritual that you let one go every year around this time for your feast. And who will it be, Barabbas or Jesus? And Jesus and the crowd said, give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. So that shows you how twisted human judgment can be. And so they did. But you know what? Jesus wanted Barabbas to be saved too, even though he was a known criminal, just like he wants you to be saved. No matter what you're dealing with, what you're going through, he loves you and he knows your situation. And that's why he came, to give his life as a ransom for you. So I hope you believe him today. If you never have before, you're going to need him going through these times that are up on the world right now. You're going to need him just because employment might be scarce. You're going to need him because you don't know which way to turn. And when the state is leading you right or leading you wrong, you need some internal insight from the Most High God. God wants you to have it. He'll give it to you if you believe on his Son and believe that he raised him from the dead. And he is the Supreme One, Jesus, the Messiah. So trust him. Whoever you are, if you haven't considered it, consider it. Because he will accept you. The only reason you don't have him is you have not accepted him. If you believe him and trust him, he will save you. And you can go on with your life, have an internal information coming from God from within you about what's going on and how to make it through these difficult times. Moving on with the text in John, it says here, down to verse number 34, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced him in the side. Well, let's go back to 33. I'm sorry, I skipped one. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. Because he had already said it is finished. Remember that? And gave up the ghost. And so they wanted to make sure, though, because if they didn't make sure he was dead, they would have a serious problem. So when they came to Jesus, it says here, that and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. So, you know, he was completely dead. Because he was already dead, and the centurion took the spear, pierced him right through his chest on up into the pericardium, which is the sac of waters around the heart, and in through the heart muscle, and blood and water came out. That water is in the sac. It's a fluid that's around the heart to take up the space while the heart is beating inside a sac. And all of that was pierced all the way through. Notice what John says the reason for that was. It says here, and that it says here, and the soldier pierced him, and forthwith there came out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record. That was John. He says, I bear record. I was right there. He was the only one of the disciples that didn't flee from the scene. The rest of them hit the road. They said, well, we got to get away from here. Because they expected Jesus to take over because they knew he had the power to do it. See, they said, oh, he ain't doing it. Something ain't going right. Let's get out of here. Save your own hide. And they went and hit him. But that was fulfillment of prophecy. Zechariah said that they were going to smite the shepherd and the flock would be scattered. But John was the only one. He stood there. And I believe he was there because Mary was there, Jesus' mother. And he couldn't leave her. He just couldn't leave her. I can't leave you here and have your son being crucified like this. And we just believe he was there. And maybe his faith was a little stronger. So this is what I want you to understand. We need to trust Christ because it was very important to him that all the scripture would be fulfilled. He said this, for these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, the scripture says, that saith, they shall look upon him whom they pierced. So all of that was written in the word. And people who had no idea it was written in the word performed it exactly. And it came to pass exactly as God had written it hundreds of years before. God knows everything. He knows everything you're dealing with. He knows everything in your life. He knows what you believe. He knows how you're going through things. He understands your fears, all of that. You know what? He loves you. He loves you explicitly. I had a problem with that. I'm going to tell you now, I don't mind confessing. I had a problem with the fact that somebody told me God loved me because, you know what, I knew myself. I said, yeah, I don't know why would he love me. I have no idea why that would be true. There's no reason at all. And, you know, I had to find out. God wouldn't give me rest until I realized, yeah, he does love you exactly like you are. He knows every problem you're having. He knows everything you're dealing with. He knows what's on your mind. He knows the kind of corrupted stuff you think from time to time, but he still loves you because he knows everything. You know what? That's amazing. That's why the songwriter wrote, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me." Because he looked at himself, he evaluated himself. He said, it's amazing if God loves me just like I am. You know what? It is amazing. That's why I'm able to tell you he loves you exactly like you are. So if you don't have a relationship with him, trust him today, right now. Today is the day of salvation, and now is the acceptable time. If you just trust him, he's already done what you need to give you the righteousness of God. That's why Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. God says, if you trust me, I'm going to add, give you my righteousness and add everything else you need. Think about that. You know what? I need a plan like that. I've had some all kinds of insurance policies in my life, but none of them have ever covered me like that. You know, I'm covered. I don't have to worry. You know, and I'm getting better. I'm actually getting better. I can actually tell you I'm getting better. Some of these people watching knew me way back when. They probably think, Lord, what a miracle if this dude is saved. I agree with you. But you can be saved too. If you're listening and you have not been saved and you don't know it for sure, you ought to be saved. Trust in God. He loves you. He's making a way for you. He will make a way for you. You know, he'll help you through everything you're dealing with in your life. He is the only one who can. And I want to invite you before I close, I'm almost done, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the supreme of the universe. There's none like him, none better anywhere. He is the greatest, the very best. And he loves you exactly the way you are. He can take care of the things that you are unaware of how to deal with it. And he wants to do that. He wants to be an integral part of your life. And if you let him, he will. I promise you that. If you let him, he will, because he loves you just like you are. So what I want you to see is Isaiah was led of the Holy Spirit, and after his personal conversion, you can read about that in Isaiah chapter 6, which I believe Isaiah was saved before then, but he tells you what happened in the year the king Uzziah died in chapter 6 in the book of Isaiah. He said, I also saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he gives that expression, and he said that the whole temple was filled with smoke, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Read that when you get a minute, Isaiah chapter 6. And he said he saw the Lord, and that changed his life. So I hope you see the Lord today. And I hope he changes your life as of today, that this will be a new day for you. And if you already love the Lord, then you already know what I'm talking about. You can go ahead and say amen and hallelujah. Raise up your hands and give him praise. If you don't, you ought to do it right now. Isaiah came to understand, I shouldn't be trusting in King Uzziah, but he died, and it made me want to go to the temple and seek God. You should have been at the temple seeking God first while Uzziah was on the throne for all those years, and maybe he was, probably he was, but the fact is, you know how sometimes death changes the way you think about things. And so Isaiah was in a situation like that, and it says it was the year King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the house was filled with smoke. And so he said, he went in and he says, woe is me, for I am undone. For I'm a man of unclean lips. He started to see himself in the presence of Almighty, Holy God, exalted on the throne. The way that reads is, was more than likely he saw Jesus, the Messiah, enthroned in glory, seated on the throne. And he said, the pillars of the temple began to shake and the house was filled with smoke. All he could do was cry out, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, began to unfess his sin. And I live among the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And he said at that time, the scripture tells us in Isaiah 6 that a seraphim, which is a holy angel, flew over with tongs and took a hot coal, a live coal, off the altar and touched Isaiah's mouth. And says, this has touched thy lips, and thy sin is taken away, and thy iniquity is purged. And then Isaiah said, then I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? And he said, here am I, Lord, send me. God wants to send you. He wants you to be a witness. No matter what you've been going through, he wants you to continue to witness His love and His mercy. Tell people what the Lord has done for you, and He will give you the salvation that He has promised, and it's free. You don't have to worry about, do I earn it? Can I earn it? No, you can't. Do I deserve it? No, you don't. But He wants to give it to you as a free gift. Salvation can only be received as a free gift. And those who know the Lord know that it is a free gift, and they have received it by faith. Amen. So God wants to give it to you by faith. And He wants you to know for sure that you have it. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Let me move along. I digress. In either case here, Isaiah knew this. And he said that you and I should realize that God did this in order to move out self-glorification. He doesn't want people thinking all that highly about themselves. It's okay to give credit where credit is due and all that, but don't take the glory that belongs only to the Most High God. You know, you should be willing to thank God and understand that there is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that's what it says in Ephesians 4:5. So only Jesus is the supreme ruler. Now, what I want you to see here about Jesus, as I give you my closing thought, Jesus is the Son of God. That means He is God in human flesh, who came to fulfill with exact perfection every prophecy that God has spoken that was required for salvation of everyone who believes in Him. And He did it perfectly while also being fully human. He was fully human. And He did exactly what God required of man perfectly. In other words, Adam blew it big time. That's me and your problem, because we were born of the seed of Adam. And Jesus came and took on the image of Adam in order to let the world see that He was able to do perfectly what Adam could not do. He accomplished what Adam could not accomplish. And you and I, being sons of Adam, need also to be a son of God. And God will make that conversion when you trust and believe in the supremacy of Jesus the Christ. And so whoever believes in Him, Jesus did it perfectly. So notice this, God forsook Him. He didn't take any glory to Himself. Jesus hung there between heaven and earth, and it's not about me, He said. He submitted Himself to the Father. He said, my God, why have You forsaken me? God the Father forsook Him and allowed Him to hang there. You know why? Because He was perfect. He was spotless. He was holy. He was without blemish. He was without sin. It was a perfect offering. Everything He did was of His own free will. God had not forced Him to do anything. He did it all, not only for God, but Hebrews 12 says, for the joy that was set before him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. It was shameful and disgraceful. What more shameful or disgraceful thing could ever be done than you come to your own people that you've given full prophecy about how things are going to go down, and they spit on you, put a crown or a corona of thorns on your head, and blaspheme God and all of this, have you crucified, even though the government said He's not guilty, I find no fault in Him 3 times, Pilate said, and you say, crucify Him anyway and give us Barabbas. Wow, it was the greatest travesty of justice that the earth has ever seen, was the crucifixion of Jesus the Christ. But God knew it would go down that way. That's why it's written in bold detail throughout the Old Testament. And Jesus came to fulfill it. It says in Hebrews 12, as I mentioned, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, giving all glory to God the Father. So my time is about up. I want to go ahead and invite you to receive Christ as your Savior if you have never done that. He wants you to be His child. He loves you just like you are. And everything you're dealing with, He is able to handle it. You're going to need His Spirit on board in these troubling days that are ahead. And I know I need Him, so I'm going to be in prayer, because I want God to guide my footsteps and my thoughts and my actions and all of that. And I'm not ashamed to call Him my Savior. I love Him. And I know I need Him even more today than I ever have. So hopefully you're at that position too, and you can ask Him to be with you. And so let's go ahead and pray right now. If you haven't asked Him to be your Savior, do that first. Eternal God, in Jesus' name, we have told the good news that You have sent Your only Son. You said, preach this gospel to the ends of the earth, Father. We make every attempt. Right now, we pray Your blessings on the message, that it will go far and wide, that multiple thousands would hear it and be saved. And Father, we bless You and we give You praise. Somebody listening to me right now has just really gotten a grip on the gospel. They understand you love them exactly like they are. And they want to submit their hearts to you right now. And so, Father, whoever it is, we pray you bless them with the gift of salvation. Let them know that they are covered with your everlasting righteousness simply by faith. And all they have to do is believe that you raised your son from the dead and sent him in order to be the payment, the full satisfaction, the only one who has ever satisfied you in all of time, your own son, Jesus the Christ. And Father, fill them right now with your spirit. Bless them, guide them, and lead them through these troubling times. And Father, we pray for your church everywhere that she would not be suppressed or hold back her voice, but continue to lift up the gospel of the kingdom. And bless many, oh God, today who are receiving you for the first time. And Father, comfort all the rest of us who have been your children for some amount of time. Father, we repent of all sin. Right now, you said, if your people who were called by your name would humble themselves and pray and seek your face, turn from their wicked ways, then would you hear from heaven and would forgive their sin and heal their land. So, Father, the saints everywhere are asking for cleansing and forgiveness for all sin. Father, strengthen us in this evil day. Help us to be able to walk by faith and not by sight nor by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. And, Father, we give you honor, praise, and glory. And it's in the matchless name of the Supreme One, Jesus Christ, that we pray. And we say all the saints here together, amen. Hope, we want to welcome you to the family of God. If you have received the Lord to be your Savior, if we can help you in any way, by all means, call on us. Connect with us on Facebook or at teachingbible.org or at the St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church. If you happen to be local in the St. Louis area, we are at 6333 Dr. Martin Luther King Drive. And that's 63133, and we'd love to see you there at the church. Otherwise, let us know if this book will help you. We'd like to sow that into your life. Amen. And, of course, we've been interrupted as far as donations. I seldom ever mention it, but if you'd like to donate to our ministry, you can do that online also through PayPal at teachingbible.org. Amen. So we give God all the praise and the glory. We hope you've gotten a good word from the message today. We love you, and we thank God for you, and we would like to pray with you about anything that might be going on in your life or anything you need a question answered, whatever it is. Please give us, contact us, connect with us, and I will try to get an answer back to you as best I can. Amen. If I don't know, I'll pray on it, and I believe God will give you what you need, and we will be there to help. So we thank God for you, love you, and pray for me. I need a lot of prayer. I'm going to go on record with that. And the scripture, Paul always asked the saints, please pray for me. Amen. And so I want you to pray for me also. We love you and thank God for you. It's in Jesus' name. Have a blessed day.